Turuntuset tulee Joonel.
And our topic today is marketing to seniors. To introduce the topic, I would like to say that marketing to seniors has been a trendy topic during some decades now. And during the time, we have learned that we are getting older differently compared to our own parents and grandparents, and also that it's highly challenging to market to seniors and to avoid clichés. And Mark, my first question to you is, what have been the most successful campaigns for seniors during the last years in your mind?
That's also probably the hardest question to answer, Anu, because I don't know what the most successful campaigns are, and probably the most successful campaigns are the ones we don't actually know are targeted at seniors at all, because in many cases there's no reason to target seniors alone, because seniors buy most of the same goods and services as anybody else. The only reason to target seniors specifically is perhaps when there's a product that's related to the inevitabilities of old age, stair lifts, or for example. Having said that, I will mention two campaigns that I think stand out and which I think people will be familiar with wherever they're listening. And the first of those would be apparently rather boring Ford Focus, which is still, I think, Europe's best-selling car and has been for some years. And why I say the Ford Focus, it's not because the visible parts of the campaign stand out as being fantastic, because they're not really. It's that the whole marketing mix has been designed from the ground upwards to be inclusive to people of all ages. When they designed the car, they wore old age suits to make sure the car was particularly suited to older people. for example, that was in 2001, they started doing that. So the whole point of the car is it's designed with older people in mind, but it doesn't say so in the advertising. It doesn't say, hey, are you old? Here's the car for you, because that approach is never going to work. And, you know, most new cars are actually built by are bought by older people, but you certainly wouldn't know that from seeing the advertising, for example, which is normally full of young, attractive looking people sort of driving around mountains and coastal roads and so on. So the Ford Focus, and secondly, Dove, which the beauty product, the Unilever beauty product. Dove relaunched itself about 8 years ago now, very successfully, on a platform of saying basically beauty for all ages. Whoever you are, you're beautiful. Whatever age you are, you're beautiful. And about a year ago, it had a video ad called Real Beauty Sketches. I don't know if either of you have seen that.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. Well, we're amongst about 25 billion other people, because it's ended up being the most watched video ad of all time. And again, it's not specifically apparently aimed at seniors. It's aimed at people of all ages. And I think that sort of inclusive approach is a theme that I'll probably be pursuing. The best marketing communications to older people are those that where just the barriers have been removed, so that they're aimed at everybody. And a Dove Real Beauty Sketches, without going through the whole ad, it's worth looking. It's worth Googling for listeners. If you are one of the small number of people who haven't seen it, I would recommend seeing it. The message that comes through is you're more attractive and more beautiful than you think you are, and that is effectively proved.
One of the ways is about the inclusive approach. The other way is that if you really want to target the seniors, maybe with a product that has not targeted to them, what should be done differently? Are there any things?
If you've decided that you're going to run a marketing campaign and you really do want older people to pay attention to it and act on it, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in that case, you wouldn't do anything very different, because you know, just because you're older doesn't mean your attitudes or behaviours are any different. However, it is a fact that the older you are, if you're lucky enough to be alive at all, then it's kind of inevitable that at some stage you will fall, you know, you will suffer from the effects of physical ageing. it'll happen to different people at different times, but inevitably your eyesight declines, your hearing declines. You know, there's a whole list of things that unfortunately don't work quite as well as they used to. So you would, in planning that campaign, you would probably think, particularly if you're looking at very old, you know, what you might call seniors, people say over 75, you would be thinking about how you design that campaign in terms of just the size of the font that you use, if it's a print advertisement, or indeed if it's online. You'd think about the design and the color contrasts that you use, the type of font you chose. There's a whole list of guidelines which I'll happily supply to anybody who asks, that you should follow in the design of the advertising. Also, you'd probably focus more on benefits and facts and information, and less so on image and being, you know, kind of groovy and cool for the heck of it. You'd be a lot more factual. You'd give a lot more information.
Is this about being more factual somehow connected to the people's age, or more connected to the experience they have from the long previous lives?
Yeah, well, I think both of those are good points, Anu. Yes, obviously, if you're older, you are a more experienced consumer. And the fact you're bothering to target me at all suggests that I must have some disposable income that you're interested in, probably. Therefore, I've been consuming for, you know, if I'm 75, I've been consuming for maybe 50 or 60 years. So yes, you can't fool me with some rather facile creative advertising. I've grown up alongside marketing, if I'm that age. You know, if you think marketing as we think of it now was kind of invented in the 1950s and 1960s, then I've seen all of that happen. I can deconstruct that. So that, yes, that's one reason. And the other reason, I think, is that you know, if you're, say, aged under 40, you're perhaps more visual. The older you are, the more interested in words you are, and the more persuaded you are by words. You just want information. Don't try and fool me with your brand image stuff. Just give me the facts.
Okay. How have the seniors changed compared to our parents or our grandparents? Is the current group of seniors different? And my question is also, are we going to be different as seniors for the marketeers when we get old?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. Of course, the first thing I should say is that people are probably more diverse now than they ever have been. So, you know, some seniors are probably exactly the same as their parents and their grandparents. It's a very complex and diverse group of people. It's the older we get, actually, the more diverse and contrary we become. But if you think of the sort of people that are now becoming seniors, and by the way, what do I mean by seniors? Let's say that we're talking about people aged 50 upwards, and we might think in terms of people 65 plus really being seniors. And if you think of the people who are aged over 65, there's a very long list of people who it's hard to believe are. You think, well, Paul McCartney is over 70, Mick Jagger is 70, David Bowie is 67, still one of the coolest guys around. People we still think of as attractive are older. Age does not make any difference. People like Debbie Harry, Helen Mirren, Goldie Hawn, lots of famous actresses, and it isn't just celebrities, it's people we know. They're over 65, and they're not acting, looking, behaving, or thinking like people that age used to do. You know, the group of people that we sometimes call baby boomers are now turning 65. And this is the group of people who, you know, made quite an impact on society in the past. In politics, in the swinging 60s, in music, in fashion, you know, changed the whole of society, really. All of these people are now over, or not all of them, they are now turning 65 plus. So, yeah, they're very different.
But when I look to the marketeers, for instance, in Estonia, I think the average age of a person who works in marketing is probably 30 plus.
minus.
You are 30 minus. 30 minus. 30 plus, would I have a guess. So those who are kind of 40 plus, this is kind of a very small group, because the age of marketing in Estonia is about 20 years or a bit more. So we just, I remember, started in 91 with the first advertising agency in Estonia. So this is the history we have here. And I do understand that it's very difficult for the young people to understand the senior groups. And my question is, what should they do in order to kind of get insights about the senior lives, lifestyles? What way should they use to research the target group?
Yeah, well, I think you've raised a really interesting point. And I think what your experience is probably the case right across Europe, and certainly in the UK, there's annual data that tells us that the average age of people working in all types of advertising, creative, design, digital agency, the average age is 33, and that hasn't changed for about 10 years. Only 5% of people working in those agencies is aged over 50. And the other interesting piece of research is that I could demonstrate to you that your own age does indeed affect how you think about older age. When you think just of the word or the words old age, you actually think of a whole series of negative attributes. You don't just think it's a fact that, you know, 75 is 25 years older than 50. You think age equals slowing down, you know, a bit decrepit, a bit uninteresting, past it, you know, lots of negative things. So what can marketers and agencies do? Well, I think the first thing is not to rely upon their own assumptions and opinions, which they wouldn't anyway, and you know, no professional marketeer or agency person would do that. But you have to do it. Make sure you're not making assumptions, because of course the thing about many assumptions is that you don't know you've made them. So rely even more upon proper research-driven insight than you normally would. And secondly, I'd say do something about that employment situation and employ more older people. There are lots of people who are very talented who are aged over 50. Creativity, for example, doesn't necessarily decline with age. And there's a lot of people who are not working who should be working, in my opinion.
That's true.
They fall victim to implicit ageism. And the whole of business, by the way, this will apply to everyone who's listening, the whole of business has to wake up to this, that as the population ages, there will be fewer and fewer people of what we think of as normal working age, and a lot more older people who you will need to employ, because you need the people and you need the talent. So start thinking about your HR practices now. Don't think that there is anything necessarily right that advertising or marketing are for younger people, and that's the right thing. They're not necessarily cool things. They're just business sciences, aren't they? They're business strategies.
Yeah, that's true. My question is, are there any special ways how to research the senior group compared to, for instance, the younger people?
Well, I think generally the same methodologies would apply. But if you're thinking of researching very old people, where, you know, there's a greater chance perhaps of disability applying, for example, then things like face-to-face interviews tend to work better if you're doing that sort of qualitative research. And also observed shopping, if you're looking at the retail environment. Generally speaking, exactly the same research methodologies apply, but with particularly old people, probably face-to-face interviews by a sympathetic interviewer would work.
I remember I had a student last year who made a research about elderly women in Estonia, because she wanted to generate a clothing collection for them.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting insight she had. So it was really the things we didn't thought before or didn't think about before, that were about how the people feel, what do they think about themselves, what is the kind of the self-image, if I can call it so. And it was really surprising. We thought the group is different, but really how how, let's say, full of life they were, and and really what did they demand from clothes, and
yes.
and what special things they wanted to have. So really kind of eye-opening, and she did it based on the personal interviews mostly.
Yeah.
So it helped to understand and somehow to decode the persons and the personalities and stories behind there. So a very interesting one.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm listening you and the thought is coming that as we are talking, actually, there is no difference between old people and middle-aged people or young people if we consider the marketing aspects. Or I am wrong. Or there are still big differences that the marketer should know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting point. Perhaps we better close now. you're absolutely right. There isn't. I think there's two issues to think about there. The first one is that the problem actually is the way that marketing and marketing communications addresses older people, because it either ignores them altogether, or it patronizes them, or it stereotypes them, or it can almost be downright insulting. So if it stopped doing that, it would be much more effective. You know, there's the assumption, for example, that you only want, if you're thinking about advertising, which is an easy thing to understand, you should always be showing younger people. You know, if we're talking about car advertising, it's almost always younger people because older people wish they were younger, which I think is a mistake. And it's because it's older people who buy the cars, and all of the research that we've seen says that older people are quite happy being older. If they see portrayals of themselves in advertising, obviously they would like to see themselves looking a little bit better themselves on a good day. So I think it's the problem, you're right, is with the marketeers rather than with the consumer. And the other point is the whole subject of physical aging. And it is an inevitability, as I said, that with age comes a decline in mental and physical faculties. So you do need to cater for that right across the marketing mix. And again, business is failing to do that as the population ages. Think of any aspect of the marketing mix for most businesses, and you could probably spend a couple of days doing a quite simple audit and find lots of improvements that would make those products and services more accessible to older people, and therefore increase business for that company.
I just wonder about the products and services side that you just pointed out. Is just the accessibility the point, or are there any other basic rules that we need to follow to redesign them more, maybe based on the lifestyle or other things?
Yes, no, I think you're right. I mean, accessibility is one of the basics, isn't it? Are there enough toilet facilities? Because one of the things that weakens a little bit is your bladder. So you want a toilet, and you want to be able to get to it, and you don't want to have to walk up three flights of stairs in a restaurant, say, to get to that facility. But equally, there might be background music. I'm thinking here of, say, a shop or any retail environment. Background music, if your hearing is in decline, which for many people over 50 it is, and I'll talk loudly because all of your hearing is in decline, then background music, you know, can make it difficult to hear speech, because it's not just the volume, it's the quality of sound. The music might be the wrong music. The staff might not look you in the eye when they talk to you, so you find it harder to hear what they say. There's lots of subtle things as well that you're right, that are to do with the lifestyle. The menu might in a restaurant might be really small type, and I have to fiddle around and put some different glasses on so I can read the menu. Do you see the point I'm making? It's a whole series of in themselves relatively small things that make retail environments, for example, hostile to older people. Or if we think of physical products, fast-moving consumer goods type products, then they come in very large sizes, which is difficult to hold, which lasts for longer than I I can consume them, so I end up having to throw it away. If it's food, I find it difficult to hold, I find it difficult to open, and this is one of the commonest complaints in a whole series of research pieces, is that people find packaging very hard to open, because you lose dexterity as you get older. You know, how often are you at with an older person at their house, and they ask you to open a jar or a bottle? It's quite common, and then you can't read the packaging. We've done some research where a whole series of women complained about using conditioner instead of shampoo when they're in the shower, because they've taken their glasses off and the packaging looks the same, and you end up putting the conditioner on before the shampoo. So every element of the marketing mix, there's something that can be improved.
I think it's kind of a lot of very good examples about that. But if I go a bit further, let's say that I'm an electronic shop, and yep. and want to attract elderly people. And then I know that usually they have more time during the daytime because they are not working, and they are just spending maybe more time in the shopping centers or just walking around. And then my question is that, would it be okay to launch an event for them? For instance, explaining different maybe TV sets or vacuum cleaners or whatever things I have in the store just for them.
Yes,
or would
I think
be
that's great.
Kind of assaulting a bit?
Well, I think it would depend how you position it. I think it's all in the positioning, because I notice in the Apple store in Covent Garden in London, they run sort of little classes to teach people how to use their Apple iPhones, iPads, and so on. Most of the people in those classes are usually ladies in over 50. And they all think it's fantastic, but I don't think you'd position it and say, if you're a lady over 50 who's not very with technology, then come to this class. You'd say, you just talk about, and I think this is a general principle to apply, you talk about the benefits. If you're finding it a bit difficult to use whatever it is, your television, your phone, the remote control for your DVD, then we've got a free class that will teach you. You don't have to talk about people's age. Therefore, you're not insulting anybody. You're saying, if you've got this need, we can address it. And that's what should be happening a lot more. And it would be a very useful thing to do, I think.
Okay. What about the online behavior?
We call it the digital divide. The digital divide is actually a social divide. i.e. the people who can't or don't use internet or technology, that's really to do with their income, their education, their occupation, and their wealth and so on. It's not about age itself, because a lot, as you said, a lot of older people are very heavy users of the internet. In fact, the heaviest users of the internet are people aged 50 to 64. And people aged 50 to 64 who are relatively wealthy are behaving in pretty much the same way as anybody else. But the seniors, the people over 65, typically most of the wealthy and educated are very confident users of the internet, but they're unlikely to use it for transactions, that they will be using it for information. So I know there's this a debate as to whether you should use the internet at all, but I think the answer is to use much more of a kind of mixed platform. People will use the internet for information. They will still want to buy in traditional ways. They'll want to know, if it's an e-commerce website, they'll want to know that there's a phone number that is available to them if they have a problem using the site, or if they want to buy, or if they have a problem. They really do not want to have to deal with problems by filling in online forms. Mind you, who does? and I think that's one of the issues of good design, of inclusive design, is that usually if it's good for older people, it's good for everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
If a product's easier to open, that benefits all of us. We all injure ourselves opening things from time to time. I certainly do.
Yeah, I think the best joke is that you have the packages that are made so that kids shouldn't open them. And then what you see is that the grandparents can't, but the kids are the first ones to tell how to open the kid-proof packages. So
yes, that's absolutely right. But to answer your question about the internet and older people, then yes, the people you're targeting, who are probably the wealthier, are very confident users of the internet up until the point when it comes to transacting. They would prefer to do that in other ways. So you have to offer people the choice of traditional routes as well.
My question actually would be, how interesting is this group of elderly people from a standpoint of purchasing power in Europe? Because they have plenty of time, we understand, and probably they have plenty of money also. But here in Estonia, because we haven't had this history, and our grandparents as not as well as rich as others in Europe, we still have this question: why to communicate with elderly people? Of course, if you have elections, then politicians like to communicate with them, but businesses, they haven't understood it. So, what's your reaction on this question?
Yeah, no, well, I agree. Many businesses still don't get it, although a lot do. What they should realise is that it's the only population group that is going to grow right across Europe, all 27 EU member states. Group of people over 65 is going to almost double in size over the next 40 years or so, whereas the rest of the population will be static. So as in relative size, that's even greater growth, and they do have economic power. It's very unevenly distributed, that economic power. You have the so-called baby boomer group of people aged, say, 50 to 65, who've benefited enormously in many countries, and the UK is one, Germany, France, and other countries, who've benefited enormously from all sorts of factors, so that there is a large group of very wealthy people coming through. They're going to get older, and the next group of people behind them aren't going to be so wealthy. Meanwhile, there's people living in poverty in the United Kingdom. They reckon there's 2 million people aged over 65 who live in poverty. So, you know, great diversity, but there's a lot of economic power there. These are people who are economically active, physically active, you know, who want to do stuff, still have a spirit of adventure. The classic case history has always been Harley Davidson, you know, although they're now having to change their strategy because so many Harley owners are aged over 60. In fact, if you ever wanted a Harley Davidson, you probably got one. So they're having to move back to targeting the youth again. But it's a great case history because it didn't target by age. It targeted by, you know, aspiration. You know, there's this lifestyle that you've always wanted. Now it's yours for, you know, not an awful lot of money. You can, you know, motor off down Route 66 on your Harley. So it's a large in many countries. It's the only group that's going to grow in size, and that's the same in Estonia. In other countries, I understand the history is different. Certainly in the United Kingdom and other countries, there's a lot of wealth there. But even if the people aren't that wealthy, there's always a market that collectively they're still wealthy. You don't always have to sell luxury goods to run a profitable business, do you? You can be a luxury store, but you can also be a discount store. You can be a Lidl or an Aldi or a Netto and be a very successful business catering to the needs of relatively poor people.
I think there are two things that come to my mind. The first is that for Estonia new startups, it's a good market out there to target the seniors in the rich countries. Probably they would be interested in new things if you understand what they really need or how they really behave.
Yeah.
And what about the Estonian market? About the research that the lady, her name was Lotta Seisler, that did among the elderly ladies.
Yeah.
But the conclusion was that for the first, most of them don't feel that they don't have money. But they understood that maybe they don't have money to buy everything at once. But they are willing to collect. Maybe it takes a couple of months until they can collect the money, and they can buy the clothes they want if they have the clothes somewhere. The problem was that the clothes are not just fitting. It's not according to the taste. It's not good quality. But they have learned that they have learned to value the quality. And they know that they are just saving a couple of months and then they are ready to buy. So so that's just the suggestion was that, of course, we are good customers. We are loyal. But just tell us a bit before when the new things are coming so we can start saving already.
Yeah, well, that's good, good learning, isn't it? Yes, they're not prepared to go into debt. That's a kind of traditional
value, that's true. That's true.
You know, you save up for it and then you buy it. That's very much the behavior of an older generation, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you raised a lot of interesting points all in one there, actually, Anu. The whole fashion industry, you know, women over 50 are the largest spending group on fashion in most countries. And they still want to be attractive. They still are attractive. They've got the time and the money to indulge it, and yet the fashion industry is still youth obsessed and assumes that everybody would want to be a sort of 20-year-old very thin person, which of course nature says that unfortunately as you get older you're probably not going to be as thin. Just as well this is only on the phone, you're not going to be as thin as you used to be, and the fashion industry has yet, we think, to deal with that. There are some very good exceptions. And it's the same for men. I mean, I don't, men of my age, I don't know where you buy clothes. You don't want to dress like your son, and you don't want to dress like your granddad used to. And it's hard to find that place in between without looking like, you know, a bit of a fashion disaster. So the fashion industry is an industry like the cosmetics industry, which has still got some work to do. One of our members in the Mature Marketing Association was doing some work for Marks and Spencer's. And they would not take her advice that, you know, to sell clothes to older ladies, you shouldn't have sleeveless dresses. It's something that a basic that women as they get older think, you know, wear sleeves. That's standard advice. Yeah. And so they just won't do that. They're all sort of 25 and totally locked into the fashion industry, not into their consumer.
That's true. I think there are big opportunities for the companies who are willing to learn, willing to really understand, willing really to change the business models for this target group.
Yeah, yeah.
My last question is that let's take an example. Usually here in marketing radio, we have different examples from different industries. Today, my question is that how should a company that produces dairy products market to seniors?
Okay, that's good. I'm obviously, it's quite a lot, as you know. If we were writing a marketing strategy, we'd be here quite a while, wouldn't we? So I'll pull out a few thoughts. I think on positioning and personality, I think you'd really need to do a thorough job of understanding what the benefits of this range of dairy products that you and I are launching have got, and then how they might be relevant to our audience. For example, are there health related benefits, or maybe there's the benefits of it being a natural product. If it's a dairy product, it might be a dairy product blended with fats, so it's low fat, and we can talk about the health related benefits, or it reduces cholesterol. And therefore reduces the risk of heart attacks. So if we understand the functional benefits, we can start to put together a proposition that's relevant for older people. And there's successful brands like Benecol. I know it's not a dairy product, it's made from plants, but it competes with dairy products, or Flora, which has done the same for many years, talked about its functional health benefits, which are very relevant to older people. And therefore you don't need to say this is the dairy product for older people. If you're talking about how it reduces the risk of heart attacks or reduces cholesterol or makes you thinner or whatever, then it's self-selecting that you're going to find older people are buying it. There might be other functional benefits that you'd identify, like it keeps longer in the fridge, because older households tend to be smaller households, so they consume products more slowly and probably have less appetite as well. So one of the worries is that you end up throwing some of your product away. So if this keeps longer, that we could have a benefit there. It might spread more easily from the fridge because we've done something to the butter. There are things you can do to butter to make it spread more easily. You know, that would be a benefit, particularly appealing to someone who hasn't got much strength in their hands. Or it could just taste great, of course. There's also emotional benefits. With dairy products, you can talk all about traditional values, and it's been a part of family life since you were a child, something you can trust in a changing world. That whole sort of positioning could be there. I've worked on a yellow fats dairy range called Anchor Foods, which has been very popular in the United Kingdom for I think about the last 100 years. It's mostly butter and other products as well, and that's always been seen as one of those traditional products. You know, you remember when your mother had it and now you have it, and that's quite a strong position to have. I'd also look at the packaging, as we were discussing. I'd be thinking, how can I make this easy to read, easy to understand, easy to open, easy to keep? And when it came to promotion, I'd be thinking about providing whatever position we've developed, making sure I communicate the facts and the benefits of that position rather than trying to be too creative, in inverted commas. There's nothing wrong with it, with some humour, but I think you have to have facts and benefits up front for this sort of product in that sort of market.
So the milk bath won't work?
I've never tried that, have you?
No, not exactly.
They tell it's good for their skin, but it takes a huge amount of the milk, and it's
actually
good
you
product.
You might have something there. You could start that. You know, are you inundated with people doing the ice bucket challenge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just, you can't move for somebody pouring some cold water over their head, can you? If you could do that with a product, that would be a great viral campaign, wouldn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
People chipping a bucket of milk over their heads.